Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to ask a simple question, and I know most of you. How many of you were raised in a single-parent family? Anybody? Okay. How many of you were raised? Boy, this is going to be a little touchy, but we're going to go there. Without what you would call a real caring father. Okay? And how many of you have adopted the fact that because you did not have a caring father, if you're a man, you're going to be more of a caring father? You know, things need to be modeled. We think modeling anymore is just letting our children do what they want, and that's not what the Bible says. God is into true loving discipline. God is into true loving training. And Paul talks about that in a few places. And I looked up some words and began to look them up. And so this morning I called a man that's kind of a Greek scholar and said, is this what it's saying? So what I'm going to tell you this morning is what it's saying. Not what Pastor thinks it says, but I'm going to break some things down for you in a moment. And then I'm going to tell dads, you need to invest in your children. Grandparents, you need to invest in your grandchildren. And so Ephesians 6:4 says this. And you fathers, if you're a father, raise your hand. So right now I'm talking to you. In a moment I'm going to talk to mothers too. But you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, or do not embitter your children to wrath. But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, this is not the Amplified Bible. This is what the Bible says in the Greek. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and training of the Lord. Discipline that the Lord approves of, instruction and admonition, warning, exhortation, encouragement, and reproof, which leads to correct behavior. Admonition is an appeal to the conscious will and reasoning. So you're appealing to your children. Colossians 3:21 says, Father, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Do not embitter them. The word provoke means to embitter, excite, irritate, to incite, to enrage, and you stimulate to action. Now I want to tell you something. This is why I started calling somebody this morning. Because very often the dads are looked at and said, Dad, you're doing it wrong. That's not how you do it. How many of your Bible says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath? Or excite your children to wrath? Or embitter your children? Well, I want to tell you something. That's not what it says in the Greek. The Greek is hoi patera, which means parents. Don't. Parents don't embitter your children to wrath. It's a team. It's working together. Now, I don't know why they translated it fathers, but they did. But the correct terminology there is coming to a place of parents. But it's Father's Day, so I'm going to talk to the fathers. You know, how many of you guys are tough, strong-willed? How many of you guys are angry? How many of you guys get frustrated?
I've got so many more of these questions.
Let me ask you one. Okay, how many of you want your children to be exactly like you are?
Anybody?
Anybody? I'm taking offers. How many of you think you've made some mistakes? That's why you become grandparents, so you can start over. This is not going to be a beat-me-up Sunday. This is going to be kind of interesting Sunday. Your children, in many ways, dads, are going to grow up like you are. Except Kirk. Stan is so passive and nice and sweet. So you can train them starting now if you haven't started already. Gentlemen, if you have boys, they're most likely going to treat their wives like you treat yours. They're going to pick up from watching you and how you talk and what you say and how you act. And that little girl they marry that they're so in love with, if it's not a kind relationship in the home, is probably going to jump into a relationship like you have. So I admonish you, love your wives. Love their mothers. Love your children. Just come to a place where you know that they're not perfect because their father isn't perfect. Okay? If your kids are serving the Lord and they're not doing what you were doing when you were younger, I don't want my kids to do what I did when I was younger. Do you? And so learn how to praise them. Learn how to thank them. Learn how to encourage them. That's what the Bible tells us. As fathers, we need to encourage, exhort our children. Come on. Even at 6 or 7 or 8 years old, they can do something right. Everything is not necessarily the way you do it. And it's amazing what a little compliment and how they'll blossom and how they'll smile. I'm working that with Lane. After I beat him up, I say, man, that was a good fight. But compliment them. Let them know. And your daughters and your children, just let them know that you are honored to have them as children. Hello? We need to build, not tear down. We need to let them know that they're valuable. You know, they go to school and said that once was this little amoeba and that grew into something and that grew into something in the lake and then it grew legs and then it walked on earth and then it became some kind of mammal and then it became you. And then they say, let's go to self-respect class. We want to build your egos. We want animals that know they're animals, but they have a good self-esteem. Hello? That's not what God says. We need to come to a place where you not only tell your kids their value, your children, forgive me, that they're valuable, but they see it in you. That they realize that there's things that are so unique about them and so special about them, and you let them know. Because a lot of times they don't hear it. And a lot of your bigger schools are just another number. And they don't see and realize. That don't mean let them be disruly. That doesn't mean let them rule. That doesn't mean that they don't obey you. Disobedience is rebellion. It means that even in your disobedience, you find value in them. And you let them know. You're important to us. We love you. But we want you to tell you, we want to tell you something. We don't love you as much as God does. Because nobody can love these children as much as God does. And so fathers, we understand and we learn and we pick it up. And our children have value in our eyes. Because I'm going to tell you something, dads. If they don't have value in your eyes, they won't have value in their eyes. Hello? You're not too old to change. Hello? I saw the end of a movie last night. And the man, after it was all over, said, "When I came in here, you didn't like me, and I didn't like you much done any either." This was about two men killing themselves. But it's better than 30 million killing each other. And he says, if you can change and I can change, then we all can change. Hello, some of you know that. So we can change. We can change. Yeah, I know, Rocky IV, somebody's going to get it. But we can. You know, I have to learn in my relationship with my wife and with my grandchildren, and sometimes I don't do a very good job at it. There are some things I'm thinking I don't have to share. Because the devil wants to put thoughts in you and in your mind to divide, to split, to scream, to yell, to get upset. God gives us self-discipline. Another thing, not only let your child know they have value, let them know they have a purpose. Let them know they're not a mistake. Even if they were surprised, they're not a mistake. And even if they were born outside of marriage, they have a mom and dad, and they're a blessing. After preaching one night, a young gal came up to me and said, "I was conceived, my mom told me, in the back seat of a car." And I said, "You know something? You are no surprise to God. No surprise to God. God knew that you'd be born. And God loved you before you were born. And the children you're raising and the grandchildren you're working with, they have purpose. God has a plan for them. God has ordained that they be where they are right now. And a lot of people miss that. And so we demonstrate to our children and we love them and we know that God has a plan and a purpose for their lives, just like yours. Just like we preached last Sunday morning, he's got a purpose for them. And it's bigger than what we all can think. Now, I want you to do something as parents or grandparents. Not right now. How many of you know that you have a supernatural life? Come on. Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you have a supernatural life living within you right now. I want you to take of that supernatural life and invest it in your children. I came across a verse, and I wrote it down, because I've read through the New Testament several times. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth. Now, the church at Corinth was not the greatest church in the world, but it was doing okay. And Paul's telling this church at Corinth that there's no lack in that church in spiritual gifts. No lack. The New King James in 1 Corinthians 1:7 says that you come short, that you have no lack in spiritual gifts waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. No lack. Every one of you have spiritual gifts. Whether or not you want to admit it, whether or not you want to use them, whether or not you're terrified, they start stirring and you say, not me, God, not me, God, not me, God, like Tony does. God has placed within you spiritual giftings. And in this body, there's no lack. Hello? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There's no lack. And so what God has placed in you, how many of you realize Paul went around imparting spiritual gifts to the churches that he started? Paul says in Romans chapter 1, I want to come to you so I can impart some spiritual gifts. Now, if we just kind of hang on to everything and think that it's not important, and our children don't see the supernatural, they'll look somewhere else to find what satisfies. And so I believe that during this week, as I've been thinking about this, and what do you say on Father's Day, and what do you say that maybe people haven't heard before, and how do I impress this congregation, then I realize I can't. God just gave me the word investment. That's okay, Jerry. Your turn will come. Invest. Invest what God has given you spiritually into the lives of your children. You know, they're probably going to make more money starting out than we made our whole life. They're going to have education, and they're going to have this, and they'll have masters, and they'll have PhDs, and they'll have all kinds of stuff. But they need spiritual fathers. Paul says there's a lack of spiritual fathers in the church. And our children not only need to see the miraculous, they need to be touched by it. And as you impart to them, they need to flow in that, touching somebody else, whether it's college or in school or wherever it might be, allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through them, knowing that they can trust God because they saw it in Dad. You believe that? And what a privilege. As dads, we should want our children to go deeper in Christ than we've gone. Let's help them. Let's allow them to be touched by the Spirit of the living God in such a way that they think bigger than we thought, that they go deeper in the giftings than we go, that they're going to be imparting to students along their way the things that have been imparted to them as they lead them to Christ. Bill Johnson made a wonderful statement, and I just adopted it. And he said something like this: so often we get caught up in what God does for us, but how about allowing God to do things through us? How about taking what God has blessed you with and giving it away? How about taking the giftings that God has given you and laying your hands on your children and say, man, this is available to you at age 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. This is available to you as a teenager. This is available to you as a young adult. Encourage them to step into the blessings of God. Because if we don't reach our children, somebody's going to reach them with something else. And we sit back and say, what happened to our kids? What happened to our kids? They're not doing it the way we did. No, because we need to impart. I've adopted a philosophy that I should have adopted years ago. What does it profit a man if he wins the whole world to Jesus but loses his own family? Think about it. What does it profit me if I reach the neighbor next door and the man down in Watertown and the person over in Fargo and over in Detroit Lakes or wherever it might be? What does it profit a man if in all that you're reaching all these people for Christ, but your kids are lost? One more thing and I'm done. Your children may be prodigals. They may not be serving God at all. But what has to change in you or your home when they come back? Think about it. I was up with Terry Hardika several years ago, and a lady stood up and gave a testimony that the prodigals, in a word of knowledge, the prodigals are coming home. And into my spirit shot an arrow. And the arrow was simply this: so what's going to change when they come home? How are you going to handle them? What are you going to say to them? You're going to say, I told you so? I knew you'd fall apart? No. Kill the fatted calf. Get the robe and the ring. Let them come home. Let them coming home know that they're loved. Know that they're accepted. Don't look at them the first thing you say, in this house we have rules and it's going to be this and it's going to be that. Love them. The rules come later. Let them get their feet on the ground. Begin to invest in their lives. Let them know how much you care. Let them know how much you missed them. Let them know what you want God to do in their lives. But you don't have to become a preacher. This is a day of harvest. It's a day of harvest. And it's time just to love. Amen? It's time to love.
Pastor, can I say one thing? When we were worshiping this morning, God taught me when I say, I love you, we are the echo of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He loves us so much first. When we say, I love you, he said that to us before we ever say it to him. So like when you're in the mountains and that, when you're where you say, talk, and it's an echo, we are that way to Jesus. So when you want to hear from Jesus, just say, I love you, and he's already saying that to you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I want you to have a great day. Dads. And Mom, you can even enjoy part of it. But I want you to think. I want you to think. I know you're great guys. I know you're great dads. But you can be greater. You can be greater. And that love that you demonstrate to your families, that doesn't mean you're a pushover. That doesn't mean you get walked over. It just means we train and we discipline our children the way Jesus would. Amen?
Amen.
We just do that. And sometimes kids are looking for a parent more than a pal. And we show them we love them. We show them we care. We show them we're invested in them. And we allow God to do his part in their lives. Amen?
Amen.